On the spot. Dot.
On the spot.
It is PG-13 in our theater,
so I had no desire to see it, but honestly, it worked out very well.
The movie was actually originally called God Party. 5 stars. I'm going to say 1 star. I will never see it again, and I feel bad for those who spent their money to go see it in the first place.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Thought on the Spot Movie Reviews. It has been quite a while, and we're glad to have you back. Today we're going to be talking about the film The New Mutants. New Mutants came out on August 28th, 2020. It is an action, horror, sci-fi film. It is rated PG-13, and the runtime is 1 hour and 38 minutes. The director is Josh Boone, who also directed Fault in Our Stars and a film called Stuck in Love. Now, starring in the film, we have Maisie Williams, who plays Renee Sinclair. You'd recognize Maisie from the series Game of Thrones, where she played Arya Stark. She also played in The Falling as Lydia Lamont. We also have Anya Taylor-Joy, who plays Ileana Rasputin. Anya played in The Witch as Thomasine, and also in the film Split, where she plays Casey Cook. We also have Charlie Heaton, who plays Sam Guthrie. You'd recognize Charlie from Stranger Things, where he played Jonathan Byers, as well as the film Shut-In, where he played Steven. We have Alice Braga, who plays Dr. Reyes. You'd recognize Alice from I Am Legend, where she played Anna, and the film Elysium, where she played Frey. We also have Blue Hunt, who plays Danielle Moonstar. You'd recognize Blue from the TV series The Originals, where she plays The Hollow, or Nadu, as well as the TV series Another Life, where she plays August Katani. Finally, we have Henry Zaga, who plays Roberto Da Costa. You recognize Henry from the TV miniseries Looking for Alaska, where he plays Jake, and also 13 Reasons Why, where he plays Brad. The plot of the film is about four young mutants who are being held in a secret facility against their will. As they discover that they have powers, they also discover that they need to learn how to control them. Now, as a fifth is brought into the mix, the mutants who have been trying to escape find out that there is a new threat in their midst.
What's the last thing you remember, Danny?
He said we had to run.
The reason you survived. It's because you're a very uncommon girl. You're not alone. Not anymore. Do you know what mutants are? Would anyone like to share their first time? Rain?
I was 13. I thought it was a dream. I just lost control.
Sam?
I started panicking. People got hurt.
Roberto?
My girlfriend. I burned her.
Ileana?
I killed 18 men. One by one.
This isn't a hospital. It's a cage.
It's important we find out your power so we can help you get better.
I saw something I don't think she wanted me to see. I don't think we're here to get better.
This place takes your greatest fear and makes you live through it until it kills you.
who's there. We can get out of this together.
Okay, so that was the trailer for the film, The New Mutants. And something I want to remember that they kind of tried to say in the trailer, I'll just call it out now. Now, I want to go into a little bit of the history of the film, but right now, just the first thing I want to call out is it says in the trailer, they're talking about how they have to keep reliving their worst fear until they die from it. The fact that the trailer mentions that or says that is the only allusion or that they're alluding to that concept, because as you see the film, you do not get that concept. And I mention that because the idea of that is actually better than what you get from the film. And I don't think that that's really what they portray in the film, and it's just interesting that the trailer tries to plant that idea in your head so that as you go to it, that's kind of an expectation that you're wanting, but I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think you really get that. So let's dive into the review. So first of all, as we know, this film took forever to come out. The original release date was supposed to be on April 13th, 2018, but was then delayed to February 22nd of 2019 to avoid competing with Deadpool 2. Then it was moved to August 2nd, 2019 to avoid conflicting with Dark Phoenix's release. Well, then it was delayed to April 30th of 2020, because Disney acquired Fox, and so they kind of delayed it again. And then it was removed from Disney's schedule in March of 2020 due to the COVID pandemic. So that finally gets us to the point now where it's led to its release on August 28th, 2020. So the question is, was all of this worth it? Well, let me start by saying that there is a lot of controversy in social media about the fact that Disney Plus is releasing Mulan, the live-action Mulan, only on the streaming service and not having it hit theaters. I think that Disney may have missed the boat on this one. In fact, as the Mulan release was announced, a lot of people actually brought up the idea of releasing this film that way instead. People said, you know, release Mulan. I honestly didn't care. I haven't really cared for any of the live action versions of the film. So it was neither here nor there for me. But as I look back on this, for those who are kind of putting up a fight for Mulan releasing in theaters, I think that Disney could have done themselves well by doing that and then instead releasing this as the streaming only. I one thing that we have to remember is that the last film that was released by Marvel, if I remember right, was Spider-Man Far From Home, which was a pretty good movie. It could have been better, but it did okay. I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't exactly walking away thinking that was epic. Of course, there was also a lot of pressure with this because of all the fandom and appreciation for, you know, Endgame. And how that kind of completed up chapter one. So, Disney was essentially held with kind of like this high expectation now, because we're riding this roller coaster, and they had hit that peak. So, many thought that the negative reviews for Spider-Man was because it was coming down from that peak of that, you know, that high mountain. And let's not forget, though, it was the launch of Iron Man that started the first chapter for the Endgame saga, right? And it is, you know, in some respects said to have really kind of set the tone or the pace of how that went out, you know. Of course, obviously all the films were made independently, and then it follows through the Avengers saga, which gets us to Endgame. But they say that it started that tone, right? So not only was Spider-Man the first film released after Endgame, but it's at the same time it's also kind of restarting that next chapter. So that's a lot of pressure. So many asked, is the superhero hype done? And we're kind of slowly seeing this decline with all of this. I don't know. So we finally kind of get a second film release since Endgame. We had Spider-Man, and now we have the New Mutants. Now, what's funny is if you go to marvel.com/movies, they have the timelines of the films released. Funny enough, though, they do not have New Mutants anywhere in the timeline. It goes right from Spider-Man Far From Home to Black Widow, which comes out November 6, 2020. So this means that Disney is confirming that the New Mutants will not be part of the MCU, which is, obviously the cinematic universe. Now, in an interview with the director Josh Boone for this film, he said he couldn't see how the characters would fit into the MCU. So it was almost kind of like maybe he got, and maybe this is him totally, maybe he's just saying, no, I just don't see this existing there, right? But, you know, even in his mindset, you have to wonder if Disney kind of nudged him and said, no, we're not going to put this in there. So even though Marvel finally has the rights to make X-Men films, and we're already hearing hype about them starting that, and that it should be part of the MCU, I think this was basically Disney got acquired the rights, and that gave them the X-Men, but also gave them the New Mutants. And I think Disney kind of said, well, that's great, you've done this, we're just going to release it anyway. We're not really going to put it in our universe. So why mention all this? Why give all this background? Well, to be honest, this movie felt very much like a Fox Marvel movie. It did not feel like Disney got a hold of this and really changed it. I think they kind of kept Josh's idea. From what I understand, they did make some more edits and things like that, but it feels like a Fox movie, which I hate to say was not good. You can definitely see why the film was delayed several times. If anything, this should have been, again, the movie that Disney did direct streaming with. I think... I don't know. To be honest, after just finishing Umbrella Academy, I think that's why I'm even leaning more towards it, because it kind of felt like that camp a little bit. I don't know how to explain that, but when you go see it, you'll see what I mean. It's a boring film. It takes too long to get to the point. There really isn't a lot of backstory, but you're kind of dumped in the middle of this hospital figuring out each character as the film trudges along. And it's not hard to figure out, but I think there's a missed opportunity to kind of get to know that more, and you really don't get to. The accents are horrible. Anna Taylor-Joy, who plays Ileana Rasputin, does a terrible Russian accent. It edges on the side of comical, like you would hear maybe on The Simpsons. Not to mention the whole Lockheed puppet, which you'll see just feels kind of stupid and lazy. It's just comical, kind of. And since we're on the subject of accents, next in line as a comical accent is Charlie Heaton, who plays Sam Guthrie from Kentucky. Who apparently his accent is so deep south, it felt like it was almost edging on Foghorn Leghorn a little bit, like a Yosemite. It's not great. What's even funnier is the person who should have probably had an accent, because apparently he is from a wealthy family in Brazil, apparently a well-to-know family in Brazil, is Henry Zaga's character, who plays Roberto da Costa. He has no accent at all. I don't know. Dr. Reyes, who you feel should play a key role in the film, really falls flat, and mainly feels like almost like a supporting role for something that is bigger, or that there should be something bigger, but we never really get to see that. The story is kind of weak. It really lacks any interest from the audience, because the threat is honestly just part of the treatment, so it doesn't really feel like it's that big of a threat. Let me tell you, so they talk about how they're kind of have to live through their nightmares over and over again, and I just recently binge watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and there's
a story arc where they run, there's something that's been released that makes them live through kind of like the same idea, their fears or their nightmares or whatever. And that Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pulled that off very well. If they would have taken that idea and moved that into this film and moved it and put it more on a movie platform or threshold, I guess, that would have been way better than how they tried to pull this off. And it's interesting that, you know, interestingly enough, both Disney properties did the story essentially. Of course, the one was done, you know, under Fox's umbrella, but it just further goes to show that Marvel has a better production value, and I'm excited to see as they take on these X-Men films, and potentially, who knows, maybe they'll re-release New Mutants and do it right. At least they have this to fall back on and go, this is not how we do it, and this is why it went through the delay hell that it did. I had read stories that said Disney was trying to go a horror story route with it, and in my mind, I thought they were going to go like more Nightmare on Elm Street dark with it, which intrigued me. As you see the film, you can see how they could have pulled that off, but would have needed, you know, maybe better story writing and have the dreams expand more on the powers and the people impacted, but they didn't. So they maybe a lost opportunity. I think they were playing, you know, and here's the other thing we have to remember. This is a PG-13 film. If it would have went R rating, maybe it could have gotten, I don't know, maybe that's not fair to say. I just don't think it's a very good story, and maybe it needed some rewrite and reshoots and everything else. The mutant powers themselves feel like that they should have had more opportunity in the film and maybe a better explanation, but instead the audience is kind of just left to make assumptions. You do keep hoping for a big team moment, or big, like, let's all work together, and when it happens, you're kind of left with kind of like a siphle. You know, it's not great. It was honestly a waste of time, and you can see why it had the struggle it did. It's honestly just bad casting, bad story, and bad delivery. If anyone does well in their role, it's Maisie Williams, and even there you can't help but see that she's just struggling to make something good out of something so bad. So, one last thing on the history of the film. When it was first pitched, it was pitched as a trilogy. And I hate when they kind of do that, because writers, 9 times out of 10, will already have a great story arc, which means that the first release spends way too much time on establishing kind of the story. And then they make the higher notes in the second, and then of course the third just leaves you like, yes, this was awesome. That being said, there was supposed to be a post-credit scene with Antonio Banderas, who would be essentially the next villain in the story. And what's funnier is it would take place in Roberto da Costa's country, Brazil. So again, if there was any plan, why, you know, to carry the story forward with this character, why was he the only character that has no accent when they're going to carry that into Brazil? That's like having Black Panther, who's from Wakanda, not have an accent, and then have Natasha Romanoff have a Russian accent, and then doing the next film in Wakanda. Do you know what I mean? It just didn't. Anyway, so there was they were gonna have Antonio Banderas in there, and he was gonna play the next villain for that. Of course, Disney isn't going to move forward with a trilogy due to the nightmare it was to even get it released, or so I've heard. I haven't heard anything different. So there is no post-credits scene. It honestly feels like it was just released it to appease fans who wanted to see it, but in the end knew it was going to be bad. And again, that's why I say they should have just streamed it only. I think it would have done pretty well there. They would have probably gotten a few more subscribers to just sign up so they could see it. So they would have earned money there and left it at that, to be honest. So that concludes my review of the film. My rating of this is a 2 out of 5. It's not so bad that it should be a 1, but it definitely is not great. And as I mentioned, there's no stingers during or after the credits. You don't need to stay. It starts scrolling credits and you're good to go. So again, you know, that concludes my review of the film. Some final thoughts that I want to kind of share is it was nice to get back in the theater. I do plan on seeing Bill and Ted next as it opens this weekend, and hopefully even see Unhinged with Russell Crowe. I know that came out last week, but this is the first time I've been in a theater for quite a while, so it was nice to be there. But so stay tuned. So now that I'm attending, we'll start getting some reviews again. So if you're still interested, we'd love to have you. And as always, I do want to thank you all for taking the time to listen. If you are a first-time listener, you can follow us and subscribe through Anchor, which is anchor.fm/thoughtonthespot. And it's because of them, we're through things like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Overcast, and so forth. Even Apple Podcasts. So please subscribe and follow. We'd love you to stay in touch. This is another review in the can. So until next time, grab some popcorn and your favorite drink and go out and see a great film with your family, your friends, or maybe just spend some time to yourself. But most importantly, have a great night.